Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
By a raise of hands, how many of you guys have been to a baseball game? So everybody in here, if you haven't gone to one, Lugnuts is in Lansing. You have no excuse. But what happens at the start of each game? The national anthem, exactly. The national anthem, it is a thing where they honor our country. But how do the players in the dugout react to that national anthem that you guys are talking about? They take their hats off? Yes, they take their hats off. Great answer, Liam and Miranda. Shying away at halfway through the answer. But yeah, so they take their hats off. Why do they take their hats off? When the players in the dugout take their hat off, it is a sign of respect, right? It's a sign of respect. It is a sign of gratitude. It's the attitude of gratitude when they take their hats off. And they go and they're like, man, thank God that I'm in a free country. I'm so thankful. I am so grateful that I'm in this country. I'm so grateful that I'm at this baseball game right now. I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity because there's people fighting in the military for me and my freedom. And so that's why they do it. They do it out of gratitude and thankfulness. Tonight, can I express my attitude of gratitude towards you guys? Because you guys are Rage. You guys are GL First. You guys are this church. You guys are this body. You guys are Christ's body. Okay? And tonight, I'm taking my hats off, even though my hair looks nasty when I have my hat off. But that's a sign of humility, okay? So, take your hand and just give yourself a pat on the back and say, I done good. I done good this year. So, there's three things that you guys have done that I just want to recognize. And number one of those is you guys have changed my life. Every one of you guys have individually poured into me and been a part of my life this year and even last year and when I first came in. I remember when I first came in, actually, and came in and there's just people just loving on me, lining up to just want to get to know me. And my sister was here, too. That's good. And so she's pretty decent. And so she's great. Okay, they came in and loved on me. They loved on me. You guys loved on me. And I'm so thankful for that. And it blew me away because I've never been to a youth group where I could just walk in and have people just flock and just like it was like, have you ever seen the movie The Mist? It was just like this huge cloud of mist just coming over me. And I'm like, whoa, back away. I don't know you yet. But it was awesome. And I was just like, yes, I'm so grateful. And number two, I want to talk about I'm missing one of my favorites up here. Oh, there it is. Anthony's got my back. All right. I don't know why you guys cared at that moment. Why you cared for me. But you did. Because you choose to, and that's who you are. You guys are those caring, loving people that I love to come every week to the point where I would drive an hour from Grand Rapids, Michigan in the winter. The day my car broke down. So, you guys are worth it. You guys made me feel home. You guys make people feel home. And number two, you guys have changed the world. El Salvador, man, it was awesome what you guys did there. Right? Go ahead, just scream, go, give it out, just let it out. It's awesome, okay? Now, I could tell you the difference you made in El Salvador, or I could let one of the people at Master Commission tell you how you guys did at El Salvador. So if you guys would look at the screen, there's a video that's going to play.
How are you? I hope that you're doing well. And, well, I just want to remind you the important work that you do from the Kingdom of God. And I remember in this summer, I had the opportunity to work with Rich Minister in El Salvador, and I remember that God impacted many, many lives, even my own life. And I remember seeing much passion from you while you were working in the streets, even when there was a language barrier and it was hard at times. And I remember you loving on the kids and always waiting to hope the people hidden outside their deities is such great testimony. And it is so cool to see how many children have received Jesus in their hearts. And I know God has big plans for each one of you, so please keep reaching your goal and do not forget that God has called you to be a light and this world, and that there are many people out there who need to hear good news and are waiting for us to tell them. And do not be afraid to keep pursuing the call that God has chosen for you. You are going to do great things in His name. Bye. See you.
That's Vanessa. And she was one of the Master Commission students in El Salvador. And I actually contacted her, and she was ecstatic to send that video because she knows how much you guys worked and how much you guys loved people. Another thing that you guys did worldwide is when you went to Nashville, Tennessee. There's some hype. When you guys went to Nashville, you guys went and you hung out with the homeless. You guys went and we handed out roses to people that were in sex trafficking. You guys went and you loved on children in underprivileged areas. I remember there was one kid there. His name was James. And the dude was like lit up every time we come out here. And when he heard we were leaving, the dude looked like he was about to cry. Like he didn't have a lot of positive friends to look up to. He was an older kid. But you guys have even made differences in your own schools. I've seen so many people come into our church family because you guys reach out, because you guys pull them in. I can't go to you guys' schools. It's literally banned now. Like, I can't walk in without people being like, whoa, that dude's got a bomb or a gun or something. Like, they freak out, like, nowadays because of all the stuff that's gone on. And you guys are going into schools and you guys bring people and you invite them and they come into Rage and they come into this church and they come into GL First and they just love it. They love it. They experience. Dominic is one of the newer guys here and he loves it here. He enjoys it. Yeah, he's awesome. You guys bring people here because it is an awesome place and you guys feel like it's your home. Not only that, but you guys have made a difference this year for Speed of Light. You guys have provided vehicles for missionaries. You know what I'm saying? Like Cam doesn't even have a vehicle right now. It's hard. Like I have to literally pick this guy up on a daily basis. If he's late, I'm late. If I'm late, he's late. So it's just like it's just hectic. But we have the opportunity to provide vehicles for people where they can be on time to places, where they can go out and do ministry, where they can go out and reach people and help people and go in and help people. And you guys have done that this year. So hats off to you guys. I want you to take your hand again. Pat your neighbors on the back and say, we are changing the world. And number three, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. We are not only Rage, we are GL First, like I said in my prayer time. We are this church, guys. This is our body. We are an extension. We're like one of the arms of this church. We just, you know, we need the whole body to function. I know it looks, look at that. Now, we need the whole body to function, but we're an essential part. We grab people and we pull them in. We pull them into our presence. We pull them into God's presence. And that's what you guys are doing. And I'm so honored and proud to be here every week, to be loved on you guys, by you guys. You guys help spread the gospel of Jesus better. You guys change the world through spreading the gospel of Jesus better. You guys help GL First by spreading the gospel better. And that is the main goal, that people come to know Jesus. And you guys have done that this year. So hats off to you guys. And I just want to introduce my pastor and cousin and friend and mentor up here, Pastor Anthony. Come on up, brother.
Boy can bring it. I love it, man. We are GL first, he said. Hats off to you. So this is what we wanted to do. So we, you guys are having a Christmas party next week? Is everybody coming? Okay, don't just come. Here, I'm gonna give you guys something. Look, don't just come. Bring somebody. Man, that's like the funnest time of the year, man. Bring somebody, right? If you're gonna invite somebody to something, bring them to a party. That's what I say, right? So let's have a good time. Bring some people in, and like I said, this is what I wanted to do. The goal of today is simply this. As we go into next week and we go into the celebration, I wanted to take a minute and celebrate you guys. Because here's the reality, and I know you guys are going through a transition and you lost somebody very close to you, and it almost feels like a death sometimes when you lose a pastor or a pastor leaves a church. It does. It feels like, man, there's this void going on, and I want to address that just a little bit, but I want to address it in a different manner, because just like Carl left this place, I left my church a few weeks before he left this place. And I want to tell you what some of the things that I told them. Because, you know, when I told, when I made the announcement that I was leaving, it seriously sounded like a funeral in our church. People were wailing and crying and flapping and flopping, and it was just nuts, man. And I was like, did somebody just pass away? Like, what just happened? Like, I thought this was, I'm telling you, I'm celebrating this thing with you. But I get it. I understand that fact. And so I had the opportunity to preach for a few weeks after that. And the entire time that I preached, I wanted the focus not to be on me anymore. Because I realized that the real power in any given group is the group. Okay? The real power in any given body of believers is the body of believers. It really is, okay? And I started realizing all of this time. Somebody, Michael Page, asked me, he said, how was church in the city? How was your time there? Let me tell you something I started realizing a long time ago at church in the city. I started realizing that the same power that lives in me lives in each and every one of you. That's what I started to realize. And I started to realize my power is empowering other people to do the things that they think only I can do. The reality is I'm just a normal dude. The reality is that Carl's just a normal dude. Mandy's just a normal girl, right? That's all it is. I mean, I got to preach on Mary today and this morning to a bunch of pregnant women. And I was preaching on Mary. And my whole point was this, is that Mary was just an ordinary woman. That's it. She was just an ordinary woman. She was a teenage mom. And the reality is that the only difference between her and some of the other people out here, A, she's pregnant. You're not, right? You guys understand that, right? We don't have to go into that talk, okay? And B, she said yes. She said yes to God. And that's it, okay? And everything that Christian was talking about, all of these stories, all of these things that happened, the fact is that you guys said yes to God. And when you said yes to God, all of a sudden you become extraordinary, okay? Do you understand that? That the power starts to flow through this body. And it starts to do amazing things through this body. And believers start to touch lives. And lives start to change. And that's the biggest thing. See, it's not about just having fun. I like having fun. You know what I mean? Like, I can sit there and play a game. I can play Madden. I can whip on you in that. You know what I mean? And I can do all that stuff. But at a certain point, fun just isn't enough anymore. Right? At a certain point, we have to do something that matters. And he was asking me, he was like, so what kind of things do I pull out? What kind of things? I said, man, pull out some wins. What's a win? And he goes, well, we had a good time. I said, were lives changed? Then I asked that question. I said, were lives changed? And if lives weren't changed, all we did was fill a space. And that's all we did. But if lives were changed, then what we did mattered. What you did mattered. Okay? And that has to be brought to the surface and celebrated as a group. Right? So as we go into next week, listen, you have a party. It's going to be fun. But it doesn't matter unless lives are impacted by that. Right? That's what really matters. And you guys have proved over this last year, in a year and a half, right, two summers, that you can do that. You have the power to make that difference. So all I'm asking you to do is continue to make that difference, continue to go forward, and continue to change lives. Because here's the reality. And I was going to get into all this stuff, but my voice is cracking, my throat hurts, my nose is running. The doctor looked at me yesterday like I was stupid for wanting to go back to work. Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, so can I go home or can I go to work now? And the doctor was like, no, you need to go to bed. Like, what are you, stupid? I was like, you can't say stupid. Stupid's a bad word, right? And so, stupid used to be the S word in this church. Did you know that? I know that because I used to say stupid, then I get called into an office and go, you can't say that. I'm like, what? I got called in a lot because of what I couldn't say. I have a bad habit of saying stuff that I shouldn't. But here's the good news. It got me this far, right? So, oh, man. So, anyways, I have all this stuff that I was going to talk to you guys about. And here's the reality. I need you guys to understand another thing real quick. That something happened like 2,000 years ago, okay? Or some years added to that, right? I mean, we had the birth of Christ. Okay, this is why we celebrate Christmas. It didn't happen in December. You guys don't need to know that anyways. That's all, whatever. It's a day we pick. We celebrate it. It's good, right? So the birth of Christ, and then something amazing happened after that. He died for our sins. He rose again. He walked amongst his believers, right? And then he ascended up into heaven, right? Now, see, when that happened, all of a sudden, people's minds started to shift. Okay, you guys got to understand how wild that is, right? I mean, that's like somebody died, rose, said what's up, hung out with a group of people, and then floated up into heaven. Okay, you guys do understand what's going on here, right? I don't need to draw you a picture or anything. Okay, good. So here's all of a sudden, people are like, whoa. That was a trip. And people, see, when things are good and things are happening like that, we don't fear the supernatural anymore. All of a sudden, we start talking about it, right? We start talking about what's going on and the power that flows into that. And people started doing that. People started, hey, say, you know what? Dude, I watched this dude just straight up float into heaven. First he died, then he came back and ate some fish with us. Crazy, right? And the dude was like, wow, really? He was like, yeah, come hang out with us. We're going to talk about it, right? That's how church started forming, is it not? And the crazy thing about the early church is that there were no walls. None of these existed. Okay, so here's the thing. There was no rage. There was no children's church. There was no Bible quiz. There was no Rangers, Missionettes, Girls Club, whatever they ministries, whatever they want to call it, right? There was no main service. It was just church. It was just church. And it was normal. But something happened along the way. As we started getting bigger, we started building walls and having to have more amenities. You know what amenities are? See, when you go to a hotel, you look for amenities, right? You're like, oh, man, what channels do they got? Right? What services do they got? Do they got this program here? Do they got that program here? I apologize. I walk around a lot. So it's literally the only exercise I get. Period. That wasn't a joke. But and so, you know, we started to look and we started to build these walls and putting amenities up, right? And what these walls did is they started to build little silos. Right? All of a sudden, now we have a rage group, or a youth group, or a college group, or a adult service, or a kid service. And everything had to be separated. And when we did that, what happened is everybody started getting their own mission and their own vision. And when you attach to your own mission and your own vision, do you know what you get? You get your own church. And so what happened is rage became a church. The Rock became a church. Whatever they call themselves became a church, right? That's what happened. And then you brought on a pastor who recognized that in Pastor Joe. And he says, man, I've got to try to reorganize this to unify this body. This body needed to be unified, okay? And so he wrote down all of this stuff. And part of the stuff that he wrote down is actually in the bulletin. I don't know if these things are relevant to this age group. Right. It's this piece of paper that you get when you go in there, okay? They always hand it to you, and you're like, what do I do with this thing, right? Notes? What are notes? How do I type into this? And he put a couple things in here, and I just want to read these to you real quick. The vision of our entire church, and I've been telling every ministry this, the vision of our entire church is this: to authentically serve Greater Lansing and beyond with the mission of Jesus, right? Everything that we do leads back to Christ. It has to, okay? And then the mission of our church, or the mission of Christ, is just simply to reach others for Christ, establishing communities of growing believers and multiplying Jesus' mission of the church locally and globally. I think Jesus' heart would break if he seen what I have known church to be all these years, and these little pockets of separation. And that's what we have to fight against, okay? That's what I need you guys to do, because here's the reality. Those are older people in there, okay? It's hard for older people to come down in age, in their mind. So you have to make the leap to kind of go up there and be that cute little person or whatever, right? Somehow to bridge this gap, okay? And we're going to work on that together, all right? But that's what we've got to do. And it's so important that you understand this, that RAGE is just a program inside of Greater Lansing First. Greater Lansing First is the body. And everything that you do has to benefit the entire body. Because here's the reality. Everybody in there is going to die off one day. And you are going to be in there. And if we don't bridge this gap, all of a sudden, there's going to be nothing in here when you guys transfer over there. You understand that? You do understand that you guys are the future. Has anybody ever told you that? Have you ever heard that song? Children are our future. Let them something and guide the way. Right? Who's that, Whitney Houston? Too soon? Sorry, just anyways. So, seriously though, you guys are the future of this church. And you guys, man, you guys have to be held to a higher standard. You guys have to hold yourself to a higher standard. Because I believe this. I believe that this generation sitting right here is either going to kill the church, or it's going to help it blossom to something that we've never seen it go before. Okay? I believe that's the kind of power that lives right here inside of this place. I do. And that's why I do what I do for a living, is so that, man, I can empower other people to do what it is that they're called to do. Amen? I'm supposed to read some scripture and stuff, but I don't know. You know? You guys can find the scripture on your own, right? You guys are smart people. Okay? I mean, I can read it. You want me to read some scripture? I got some. Man, we dropped the mic right now. Challenge me. What? Drop it? Drop it. So let me do this. Can I pray with you guys? Let you guys get out of here so you guys don't, I want you to drive safe. It's a blizzard out there, okay? So let's pray. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Let me read this to you. It's scripture. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27 says this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, It is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.